I'm Kemi Egan, and I am The One.
Welcome to I Am The One, Entrepreneur Edition. A show that explores the journeys of business owners who decided to be the one to make life better for the people they serve. I'm your host, Sonia Thompson, and today's guest is Kemi Egan. Kemi is the co-founder of Freedom Academies, where she helps entrepreneurs build ethical, substantial wealth using business growth and real estate investing strategies. Kemi is also the author of the international best-selling book, The Power of Real Estate Investing. We can learn so much from Kemi's amazing experiences, particularly how she went from homeless to managing a multi-million dollar portfolio in less than 12 months. But before we dive into the interview, I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by the upcoming podcast series, Entrepreneur Survival Stories. Here's a sneak peek of one of the tales you'll hear from the trenches.
What happened was quite lucky in a way. I was diagnosed with whiplash injury, and it was quite bad. I struggled with concentration. I couldn't work very well. And that really changed my life around, because at once I saw that my whole approach to work was wrong. I had always thought about, okay, this is my to-do list, and I try to put more on my to-do list and do more. And now, for the first time in my life, I sat down and said, okay, I have 5 hours in my day. What can I do in those 5 hours? And it was a learning curve, because I didn't know how long stuff would take me. So I had to pare back a few times when I thought, oh, I can do this, 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 and that in 5 hours. Well, no. So I have to go back. But what I found, actually, when you work fewer hours, but you're concentrated and you're focused, and actually it's amazing what you get done. I think I probably get done more in 25 hours a week than I used to get done in 50 or 60 hours.
After each story, I'll provide a brief commentary on how to overcome the specific barrier each entrepreneur experienced, you know, just in case you find yourself in a similar situation. This show is coming your way real soon, so to make sure you don't miss a thing when it launches, head on over to iamtheone.fm and get signed up to the email list. All right, let's get to it. Here's Kemi. Hello, Kemi. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's my pleasure. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. So tell me about your business, Freedom Academies.
Yeah, so I know we've spoken a few times before. So I had a previous business. I used to be a physical therapist way back in the day. And it went a bit peak-tong when the financial crisis happened, that all went under. And I was really fortunate that I managed to find a new path and create some wealth and a new business in real estate. Mm-hmm. And within 12 months, I went from being homeless and living in my office of this business that was going under to having a multi-million dollar real estate portfolio and, you know, things doing really well. So I spent a few years focusing on that, really building up this portfolio and building a really sustainable, repeatable, kind of replicable business. And after a few years, I found that we were sharing this information with other people. You know, the world has changed, and I'm sure you're the same, Sonia, that when we used to talk about real estate, it was all a bit scammy, all a bit get rich quick, mm-hmm. all a bit no money down, let's rip this person off for that. And we were just meeting people that were like, look, I want to do what you guys are doing. It's professional, it's profitable, it's ethical, it, you know, it feels right and it makes money. Uh-huh. So we started sharing it really ad hoc. But I was just running out of time. I couldn't do it all. And so we decided to set up Freedom Academies as a way to reach as many people as possible that just know they want to change their life. They know they want to overcome some financial barriers and they want some help along the way. And that's what we created.
Got it. Now that sounds super cool. So you kind of answered the question, but I just want to make sure we package it up in a little bow. What is the problem that you saw for the people that you serve?
So we help people build businesses and real estate portfolios and generally real estate businesses that either have no idea how to do it, no time or interest to do it, or no money to do it. Because we often find, everyone says, you know, I really love real estate, but I don't have the cash.
Right.
Not a problem, easily fixed. Or I'd really love to do it, but I have no idea where to start.
Right.
Or I want to do it and I've got the money, but I don't have the time. How do I partner with people and how do I create relationships so I can find others to do it and I can still benefit?
Got it. And what made you decide that you were going to be the one to solve this problem? Was it because people were asking you how to do it?
Yeah, it was a bit of both. So to start with, people were asking me how to do it. And that kind of kicked it off. But also I remember when I began to change my life and I was having these same thoughts. And again, we talked about it before. I was thinking, I want, but I don't know how to, I don't have the money, or who's going to believe in me? Who's going to buy into me? And I had all these imposter syndromes and all these thoughts. When I looked around at the people that were sharing their knowledge, no one looked like me. No one sounded like me. No one, it felt like had come from where I'd been. And I just wanted to be the person that you can relate to.
Right.
You know, I have been to the bottom and back. I've been bankrupt and back. I've been homeless and back. I grew up in a single parent, mixed race family that was broke. You know, so I think I can, hand on heart, sit there and say, look, if I can do it, you can do it.
Right, right.
And that's a real privilege.
Right, right. So you just mentioned you have definitely been through the school of hard knocks.
I know, it's like a carry-on film.
But you sort of were able to climb your way out. So you mentioned before that you were homeless at the time whenever you first started your real estate business. Can you share a little bit more about that and sort of how you climbed your way out? Because I think, you know, when people may find themselves on hard times, a lot of times doing something that, and I'm using air quotes here, you can't see me, that's quote unquote as risky as entrepreneurship. You know, somebody, I can hear people giving others, somebody like you who was in your situation, the advice of, why don't you just go and get a job? So what, can you just want to walk us through your thought process as you were at that moment and how you decided, I'm going to climb my way out my way?
Yeah. So I had my own business. I had a healthcare clinic. Essentially, it started because we had a lot of our business came through insurance companies. So, you know, if you have a car accident or you have an accident at work, mm-hmm. you get referred to maybe to healthcare by your insurance company.
Okay.
So they all were sending their clients to us, which was brilliant, until the big crash happened and they all went under. So all of those insurance companies went bankrupt.
Okay.
And with it, they took all of our clients and all of the thousands of dollars they owed us.
Okay.
So I ended up, literally overnight, losing 90% of my income and 90% of my client base, and probably the last 3 to 5 months of income that I'd worked for, because they always paid
wow.
in really slow payment terms. So you always knew that kind of every 3 to 6 months these lumps would come in. But they went bankrupt in between times, so it just wiped out any kind of buffer we had, plus took our caseload with them.
Okay.
So I ended up homeless, living in this office. Because to start up any business, as most people will know, when you start up a physical business, and if you do it kind of the hard way, the way that entrepreneurs like to, they like to make everything hard for ourselves.
Right, right.
I took out director's loans and guarantees and credit cards. So I was up to my ears in debt. And shutting the business literally wasn't an option. To go bankrupt would have cost more money than I had in the bank.
Got it.
So the only option I had was to give up my home to try and save some cash, because I just couldn't pay those bills as well
right,
and move in.
Right.
And I was looking at, you know, what to do. Do I go and work somewhere else in the meantime? Can I get a few hours at a supermarket? Can I clean floors? What can I do? And for the amount of money that I would have earned per hour, it just wouldn't have made a dent. You know, it would have made virtually no difference to me being able to pay any bills. It wouldn't have stopped me from going bankrupt if that was what was going to happen.
Right.
So I started looking at what were the high value activities I could do. What could I do that would make the most money with me having to do the least input?
Right.
And was actually capable of changing things. You know, I was a couple of $100,000 in debt, probably a bit more than that. I was a couple of £100,000 in debt. So probably close
wow.
to $350,000, something like that.
Wow.
So when you're in that kind of debt, you know, earning $5-6 an hour wasn't going to do it.
For sure.
So yeah, I started looking around at what I could do that would make real money. And, you know, I was a healthcare professional. I had no real skills.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be something that wasn't another job. So when I started Googling, and I'm really lucky because I started Googling, you know, how to make money fast, or how to make money online.
Wow.
So I'm really fortunate that what came up was real estate.
Right.
And I didn't end up, you know, on some of these web pages or something.
Right, right.
But that's how I made kind of the move into real estate, because the value per hour is incredible compared to anything you could earn or do anywhere else.
Okay. Okay. And how did you come up to speed so quickly? You just completely changed careers, changed businesses in a very short period of time. And like you said, you had to make money quickly. So how did you come up to speed in such a short period of time to be able to make this new path work for you?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I had to do it, and I did it fast. And I think that's one of the blessings in a way. I think if I was in a position where I sort of needed to make a change, but it wasn't desperate, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thrown myself into it.
Okay.
But because I had it, and, you know, I knew that I could get through maybe another couple of months, but then there was no cash. There was nothing, and right. No one in my family that could help. It put a real deadline on it. So I started reading all the books I could find. I mean, you know, I Googled kind of real estate books, and all the traditional ones came up. So I got a library card so I could get access to free books, and started reading all the greats, really. Brian Tracy, Goals, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert G. Allen, How to Make Money. And I just went through probably 20 or 30 books in a couple of months. I watched every webinar I could find. I went to as many kind of free seminars as I could. I just threw myself into it, and probably shortened the learning curve.
Okay.
From what might take someone a year to get through into a couple of months.
Got it.
And that was a real game changer.
So you did total immersion.
Yeah, complete. I lived and breathed that stuff.
All right. So, your story is fascinating to me. So I'm kind of sort of like going away from what I would normally ask, just because I this is so cool. So I guess the question that I have now is, excuse me, whenever you're diving in and you're trying to get your business education for how to do well what you do, like you said, you've read all these books, and all these seminars, webinars, all these things that you can get your hands on. At times, there are a number of conflicting ideas and opportunities approaches. So how did you take all that information that you were giving and then craft it into something that would work for you? I guess all these things, everybody provided a roadmap, but each of their roadmaps might have, you know, taken you in a different direction. So how did you put it together in a way that said, you know what, I'm going to go this way?
Yeah, really great question. One of the big things I did is look at what I needed. So you'll see, you know, on these roadmaps, you might have a how to create a $10 million business in the next 3 years, or mm-hmm. how to make lumps of money flipping properties in only 9 months.
Okay.
And all of those are brilliant. But what I needed was cash flow.
Okay.
I needed it, and I needed it yesterday.
Okay.
So anything that was going to take me 9 years, 2 months, whatever it was, just couldn't happen.
Okay.
It had to be virtually immediate. So that was kind of how I narrowed it down first. It was cash flow and it was quick.
Okay.
Then it was, well, I don't have the money, so it has to be a strategy that's going to let me bring in other people's cash or bring in other people's resources.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to really nail down on what strategies would allow me to do that. Unfortunately, that kind of rules out, you know, stocks and bonds. It rules out most businesses. But in real estate, the great thing is leverage. So you can bring in a private investor and you can leverage mortgages and things.
Okay.
And then I looked at what strategies in that would maximize cash flow. So you can do a single family unit that might make you a few hundred dollars a month, or you could do a sharer's apartment and have three or four people in an apartment and be making three or four times that. And, you know, that's what I needed. I needed big cash flow.
Right.
So that pointed me in that direction.
Got it.
So I kept staying really true to what it was I needed, what would get me where I needed to go. And if it didn't tick that box, I got chucked in the bin for now.
Got it. And along those same lines, I heard you say at the beginning was that as you were building this business and creating the revenue that you needed right away just to live, you started to find a documentable system. So what caused you
to say, I'm going to start writing all this down and tracking it. because I think that's something that's not necessarily intuitive for entrepreneurs to say, I'm going to like document this so I can, you know, do it again. It's just, let me find out what works and I'll keep doing more of that.
Do you know, it took me probably a couple of years. If I'm honest, I'm not a huge systems and documenting person. I'm a bit more creative.
Okay.
I like to kind of fly by the seat of my pants a bit more. But it got to the point where I was, as all entrepreneurs, and I'm sure you know, you have that evening and it's, you know, it's 10, 11, midnight. You're still up to your eyes and you're writing a letter that you've written 15 times before, but you couldn't find the one you wrote last week. So you've got to rewrite it.
Right.
You're doing something else you've done 15 times. You can't remember who that supplier is. So you've got to Google. And it was just a big overnight kind of moment of inspiration. I was like, this is insane. I'm going to go under again because I can't remember who I'm invoicing. I can't remember what rent is due when. So I can't chase them. I can't reconcile my accounts. So it was almost forced on me. But what I did figure out is that when I started to do it, it's amazing. I love it. And now I'm completely, I'm just anal. I'm a bit crazy about having systems now. And if there's no checkbox and there's nothing I can do in a flowchart, I'm not doing it.
Well, you know, I think the people who... I think a lot of people are resistant to systems in the beginning, but anytime someone actually ends up on the other side of it where they have them, they're like you, where they're like, how did I live? How did I function without this?
It's so true. And like you said, it just has to be, you know, writing down what you did. Mm-hmm. That's it. It doesn't have to be some big, complicated, graphically designed fiasco. Just write down what you do.
Right.
So when you do that task again, you're like, tick, 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 boom. Brilliant. Haven't forgotten anything.
Right, right. Okay. So as you've gone through all these ups and downs, evolutions, what would you say that you've picked up has been your three keys to success?
Awesome. My three keys to success. The first one is something that I know I'm guilty of for sure. And I think entrepreneurs are, we try and do everything by ourselves. Mm-hmm. We are convinced that only we can do it the best, that we know how to do it the best. No one can do it the way we can. No one will love it like we do. And we just fight and we're so resistant to partnerships and to help. And the reality is you absolutely can't create a business that doesn't require you to be in it 24/7 mm-hmm. unless you can learn to leverage other people and outsource. So my first one is partnerships. And I haven't done anything at all in business without partnering.
Okay.
Whether it's, you know, bringing in extra cash from a partner to buy a new property, whether it's someone else saying to me, you know, I want to create a webinar and I like what you're talking about. Do you want to bring the content? I'll bring the audience. Awesome. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all kinds of ways. And I know there's a lot of people that might think that doesn't apply to them. But when I learned this, because as I was building my real estate business, I still had the healthcare business.
Mm-hmm.
So we went, well, who can we partner with? So instead of trying to get individual clients, I said, well, who's got my client base? Who has the people I want? And it was personal trainers. It was fitness instructors. It's gyms. It was osteopaths.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to all of those and said, look, we offer things that you don't offer. You have skills that we don't have. Can we partner? Can we work together? And instead of kind of chasing one client at a time, you're getting maybe 20 at a time.
Right.
And that's a huge game changer.
Right. Very cool. Very cool. Okay. So that's two.
The other one is probably protecting your beliefs, protecting your goals and your dreams.
Okay.
You know, there's a whole world of people out there that are going to tell you, you can't do it. You must be out of your mind. People like you don't do it. People where we're from can't do it. It's all right for them because, and if you don't protect your mind, if you don't protect those goals, it's so easy for that to infiltrate your brain. And before long, you might be writing this email to someone saying, will you partner with me? But this internal voice is saying, yeah, it's never going to happen. Why would they want to work for you?
Right.
And gradually that stops you taking action. That stops you doing stuff. So the only thing that's going to keep you moving forward is being able to protect your goals. So when you can sit there and you can say, you know what, I want financial freedom. I want X amount of money each month so my bills are covered and I'm not worried. If you allow other people to affect that, it will stop you moving forward. And that's really dangerous.
For sure. No, that's really good advice. That's really good advice. All right. So What would you say had to be your biggest mindset shift that took you from, that made you the entrepreneur that you are now, that allowed you to build a successful, sustainable business?
Wow. There's been so many. I genuinely started out without without a clue. It was a wing and a prayer.
Okay.
So it's been a constant learning process, and it still is every day. But I think the biggest mindset shift was that actually most people, actually I'm going to rephrase that, most successful people want to help.
Okay.
So most entrepreneurs are out there doing great things. They want to work with, they want to help you. Most people that are comfortable in themselves and that are adding value into the world want to be supportive.
Right.
And I think I came from a mindset of scarcity, thinking everyone wants to steal your idea. Everyone wants you to fail. No one wants you to do well. When actually, most of the people, because if you're doing well, you know, they might be able to work with you. Or if they, you do well and they've helped you, they feel great about it. You know, people want you to succeed. And I think that mindset shift took me from being in a place of, like I said, scarcity to a place of abundance and wanting to help and wanting to work with others. And that opened up a whole new world.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, any parting words of wisdom for entrepreneurs who are working hard out there, making their dream, working, trying to make their dream come alive?
I think the big thing is just keep going. And it's a massive cliche. And it's, you know, I think the phrase is something like, just at the moment you're ready to quit, your dreams around the corner, your goals around the corner. And I used to remember when people would tell me that, I'd be sat there going, yeah, it's all right for you because you found yours. But it was so true. There were so many times when I just thought, I can't do this anymore. I am done. I don't have it in me. Mm-hmm. And you push that one more and then something good happens. And you think, oh, maybe I can do another day. And just keep celebrating the small wins. And then the little things you think, oh, that's not really a big deal. If you've worked for it, that's a win. Celebrate it and use that to keep you moving forward. And I promise you, you'll get there.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, here's another quick question for you. And I ask this of everybody, just to kind of peek behind the business part of the curtain for entrepreneurs into the little sort of fun side. And it's to deliver a line from a movie that sticks out to you in your mind and explain a little bit of why you chose that one, why that sticks with you.
Oh, really great question. I can't. There are so many good ones. I think one, I can't remember what film it's from, which is probably not very helpful. But I was watching it again the other day, and the line was really simple, but it was, you are welcome. And the reason it was so, I love it so much, is because this person had been told the whole way through her life, this character, that she should, you know, be grateful to people and she should apologize constantly. And it was the whole self-deprecation, not respecting herself or her values. And she finally started adding value to people. And she learned to say, you're welcome. If no one would thank her, she'd be like, no, no, I've done that for you, but you're welcome. And it was a really poignant way in the film. It was a poignant moment because she learned to realise that she had value and she was giving value. So her saying, you're welcome, was in her head acknowledging that she'd made a difference, that she'd helped someone. And I just think that was really awesome. It was a huge change for her, and it's something that I took away for sure.
All right. I love it. I love it. And you're right, like the explanation of it. Sometimes we try to, like you said, self-deprecating in terms of how we take what we do for other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So very cool. Well, Kimmy, this has been fantastic. I'm so glad we had a chance to chat, and your story is amazing. So thank you so much for sharing.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
I hope you were as inspired by Kimmy's story as I was. She shared so many great lessons, but there was one thing that stood out to me in particular. And that brings us to today's I Am The One challenge. It's great to learn from the experiences of others, but you've got to apply those lessons if you want to make them work for you. So based upon Kimmy's insights, here's today's challenge question for you. Who can you partner with to help you get more done in your business? Think about a specific project you're working on and brainstorm 2 to 3 people who can help you get even better results. Now, to help you answer this challenge question, I've prepared a worksheet for you. You can find it over at iamtheone.fm. Just look for episode 33. While you're there, go ahead and get signed up to the email list. That way you won't miss a thing when the new podcast series launches. Until next time, keep working on building your dream business so you can make life better. Somebody's waiting on you. Thanks for listening.